Today, I'd like to invite you to turn to the first book of Thessalonians. This is 1 Thessalonians. We're going to look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You're welcome to, if you brought a Bible, you're welcome to turn to that scripture now. If you'd like to grab a pew Bible in front of you, you can do that. We'll also have the words on screen. And don't be afraid. If you regularly use a smartphone and go to your Bible app, it's okay. I'm not going to think you're texting your friends or posting on TikTok right now. No reason to feel ashamed or afraid. So I've been preaching a series called Habits of Grace. Habits of Grace. And I want to make sure I give a little bit of an intro so that you know what I'm talking about when I say habits of grace. We have a tremendous basis for this series that we've been walking through, and the tremendous basis is this: we are saved by the blood of Jesus. That's the basis for this series. We are saved. We believe that God has called us to Himself. We believe that God has given us the life-altering good news of Jesus, that he's let us know all about his grand plan of salvation. We're talking about Jesus coming, Jesus going to the cross for our sins, dying on that cross, and rising on the third day. We believe that God has, by the power of the Holy Spirit, guided us to respond to this good news in a particular way. Well, how have we responded to that good news? We've responded with faith and trust, following Christ, confessing our sins, and living into the new life. We believe that this saving work that was accomplished by Jesus on the cross, It's not about anything that we have done, but it's solely about what Jesus has done for us. It's not something that we can earn. It's something that was given to us. It's a gift of God. And this incredible gift of God, this whole idea that God has called us to Himself, He has reconciled us through Jesus, and has worked in us in such a way that we can respond to His good news by faith and trust. What is this called? We call it grace. We call it grace. We have received grace from God. We're now part of the family of God. We're part of His wonderful and awesome kingdom. This is the good news of Jesus. Now, if you don't know about God's grace, maybe you've thought that Christianity was all about what you need to do in order to be accepted by God, but now you're hearing that it's really just the opposite. It's what God has done for us, His gift of grace. We're responding to that. We're consider ourselves so fortunate that even though we're messed up sinners, Jesus died for us, and now He's called us to trust in that gift. Anyway, if you don't know that yet, I would invite you, come talk to me, talk to one of our elders, put it on the welcome card, hey, I want to sit down with you, Pastor, and I want to talk with you. And then, now for our series. For our series today, I would invite you, maybe if you don't know Jesus, I would invite you to listen today, but I just want you to know that what we talk about today, the work that we talk about today, is not done to earn God's favor. It's rather response to His loving kindness in our lives. It's all about our hearts being full of joy and faith because of what God has done for us. That's the work that we're talking about here. Response to God's grace, to his saving. And today's habit of grace is on disciple making. Disciple making. You know, we've talked about prayer, we've talked about the word, we've talked about fasting, we've talked about fellowship, and with that we've talked about worshiping together, and today we're talking about another habit of those who have received this unimaginable grace, is disciple making. It's something else that we're called to do in response to what God has done for us. And today we're going to look at part one of disciple making. Part two is going to happen in 2 weeks. Well, what's happening in between? In between, we're giving Pastor Wyatt an incredible opportunity to preach, and I'd like to see more opportunities put in place for him as we move forward. You know, I know your guys' hearts, and I know that we can be a tremendously good and great place to nurture emerging ministers. And I'd like for you to think about Wyatt that way, as an emerging minister. And by the way, we've got some good news with that too. We have another who's interested in starting that journey as an emerging minister. And he's gotten started with the process now, and he's wholeheartedly interested in what it will mean for him to seek ordination and to become a minister himself. His name's Noah Broxma, and I hope you get an opportunity to get to know him. What an awesome thing. God is at work right here at First Reformed. And he's asking us to move beyond our comfort zones and to move into some new places. A few years ago, could you imagine that we have two emerging ministers in our midst? Yeah, who are in love with Jesus, who want nothing more than to go out and make disciples. And they are running after it, and I am excited, and I hope you are too. We need to be ready. We need to be ready for this. And the habit of grace, disciple making, is going to be a big part of that for us. So, let us pray. We're going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're looking at verses 1 through 12. So let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your tremendous, holy, awesome word. Lord, this morning we ask, like we do every Sunday when we have the reading of your word, to work in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Continue to transform us, to make us into new creatures, leaving the old creature behind, living into being new creatures, not relying on ourselves, but relying on you, and looking to you for all guidance in life. Lord, show us what's most important in the kingdom of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. This is the word of the Lord. This morning, we are going to look at what I might call three disciple-making heart moves that God is calling us to. Three disciple-making heart moves that God is calling us to. Number one, we need to move with courage. Number two, we need to move with integrity. And number three, we need to move with tender care. The Apostle Paul is a great example. He has the heart of a disciple maker. The Apostle Paul, he's not just focused on making converts, nor is he just interested in making church attenders. Rather, out of a healthy and vibrant, mature Christian life, Paul is on mission. He's on that Matthew 28 mission, Jesus' mission, to go and make disciples of all nations. Like I said earlier, we're called to prayer. We're called to Scripture. We're called to fasting. We're called to fellowship and worship. We are also called to discipleship, to being disciple makers. This is a part of who we are called to be as Christians. And it is life and death. Life and death. The good news of Jesus from your lips to other people's ears. So number one, is moving with courage. Moving with courage. Here in 1 Thessalonians, we find out that Paul has dealt with criticism in his preaching. He's faced strong opposition in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different places. He has been insulted for his faith. He has suffered because of his words, speaking the gospel good news. And he's received this not just from people outside of the church, but also inside of the church too. When it comes to sharing the good news, when it comes to making disciples, maybe the first thing you think about when it comes to that is fear. You might say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that if I share the gospel, people will think that I'm ignorant. Or if I share the gospel, people might make fun of me. Or if I share the gospel, people might speak bad about me. Or they might just ignore me. Or they might even strongly oppose me. And you know what? You are right. You're right. This was Paul's life. It's going to happen. When you share the gospel, sometimes it is not going to be received well. Some will turn to Christ, but many others will rebuke you And this is going to happen even in your own families. But with courage, you are called to press on anyway. You're called to dare to tell the gospel even with persecution. You're called to diligently work to walk along with others to help them grow, even when they maybe don't want to hear another word from you. Don't be afraid to teach. Don't be afraid to coach or mentor. Don't be afraid to go with God to your neighbors, your coworkers, your classmates, even your own grandchildren over the gospel. Don't be afraid. We are called to have courage, to go deep with Jesus, hearts on fire for spreading the good news of the gospel. Not afraid to walk into any situation to make disciples of Jesus. This is the life of Paul, and this is the life that we are called to too. So that was number one. We need to move with courage. Number two is moving with integrity. Moving with integrity. Here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about his motives. What's behind Paul's work of disciple making? Paul, he's all about pleasing God. That's it. He is about pleasing God. He's not about pleasing others, pleasing himself. He's all about pleasing God. He speaks as a man approved and trusted with the gospel. True disciple making is not about money. It's not about control. It's not about power. It's not about gaining respect for yourself. It's not about exploiting others, gratifying our own desires, filling our own bank accounts, looking holy in front of others, or any other desire that you can think of. We're not called to walk around with a false face. There's no wearing masks when it comes to disciple making. We can't act one way over here and act another way over here. We need to be our genuine Christian selves, no matter where we are or how we do it. Whether we're standing in a pulpit preaching, we have to be ourselves. Whether we're talking to people at work about Jesus, we have to be ourselves, our warts and all, our sins and all. Have to be out there so that people know that when we talk about new life, they know that we don't have it all put together already, because we don't. Moving with integrity also means that we don't base our discipleship or our evangelism on fear tactics, on sob stories, on guilt trips, or any kind of hidden agendas. And it's with no manipulation of any kind. There are plenty of fakers out there. Paul is not one of them, and we are not to be one of them either. So, number one, we are called to move with courage. We're going to be afraid, but we're called to move with courage. Number two, we are called to move with integrity. Not hiding who we really are, but making it evident who we are to other people, walking with integrity, showing them our whole selves. And then finally here, number three, moving with tender care. Moving with tender care. Paul is gentle like a mother caring for her children. That kind of connection that a mother has with a child is the kind of connection that we are to have with one another when it comes to our disciple making and when it comes to reaching out to those who don't know Jesus yet. We are called to be like a mother caring for her children. Listen to this from Paul. He says, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share the gospel, but also our lives." It's not about getting people in the pews. It's not merely about saying hello to somebody in a greeting time. It's loving and giving ourselves. Like I said, warts and all, sins and all, our real triumphs, our real failures, our real repentance, our real stories and lives. It's about being together, spending time with one another, being invited into each other's homes, dinners together, life together. That's disciple making. Close enough with one another that we can encourage one another, we can gently correct one another, we can pray with each other, walk with each other, learn with each other, and we can really know each other's hearts. So let's ask the question, who are you currently discipling? With courage, with integrity, with tender care, who are you currently discipling? Who are you urging to live a life worthy of God? Who with you is called into his kingdom and his glory, as Paul talked about here? Maybe you have somebody in mind that you've been discipling. What's the next step to take with them and getting closer to them? What's another way that you can take that mask off so they can really get to know who you are? Or maybe there's a different question for you this morning. Maybe it's not who you've been currently discipling, but rather, who is God calling you to disciple tomorrow? Who is he calling you to disciple? Or maybe you're a new Christian and nobody's identified you yet for discipling. Maybe you're thinking, you know what, I could really use some discipling. I could really use somebody to walk with me and to show me Jesus' will and his ways. And nobody's come to you yet. Maybe you need to work up the courage to ask someone. I know in my beginning walk as a minister, that was the case for me. I didn't have anybody that stepped up to think about me. So I had to ask someone to disciple me. And maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're like, you know, I really do need some discipling. And maybe you have somebody in mind. Pray for that and maybe go ask them. Maybe they would just absolutely love to do that for you. So how might we do this? Maybe you're like, you know what, I do need to get started with discipling. And I would suggest to start small. You don't have to disciple all of Waupun at once. I'd say for you, just think about discipling one. Could you imagine the transformation in our community if each of you were discipling one? Just discipling one. Make a connection. Give them a call. Go have some coffee. Invite them over to bake some bread with you. Fix a car together. Go bowling together. Go fishing. In a little while, you can go golfing. But think about one person who you could disciple. Disciple making, just like prayer and scripture and fasting and fellowship, is a habit of grace. We're called to have a heart for spreading the good news of Jesus, growing closer together, so that we can come to know Jesus in a greater way. Let us join together in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you today for the gentle reminder that your Son Jesus invited us to go and make disciples of all nations. And Lord, we ask for your help. Many of us don't feel good at this. We don't feel like we have what it takes to go and make disciples. And very often, we just leave that up to other people to do. But Lord, we know that in our hearts, we're called to this. We're called to make disciples. Lord, we ask that you give us the strength and the courage so that we can move. And Lord, give us the integrity too. And give us hearts full of tender care so that we are ready for it. And Lord, give us a name. Give us who you want us to connect with this week. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'd like to invite our praise team to come back up and lead us in our final songs.
Would you rise together and join us again as we